FBI agent Paul Stonebaugh lied before the grand jury. Another agent, Mahoney, lied under oath on the witness stand. And here I am coming out of the Bureau, a great organization, impeccable reputation, a crack organization. We were probably one of the finest investigative organizations in the history of the world in our day. Not anymore, I'm sorry to say. And I say, hey, what's going on here? So as a result of my work on the McDonald case, and by the way, I submitted a 1,200-page report to the U.S. Department of Justice, and instead of looking at my report and continuing my investigation, FBI agents were going out and interviewing my new witnesses. I developed 19 new witnesses, interviewing Helena Stokely, trying to get them to recant. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on, because all of a sudden I am being attacked, and I received information that I'm a victim of a disinformation program. I'm a homosexual, suffering from mental problems, trafficking drugs, and the story goes on and on and on. And as a matter of fact, the government, U.S. government, even attempted to frame me on a phony drug operation, and also on a false charges on a fraud case in Dallas, Texas. What happened on the drug operations, the girl that they assigned to frame me, Pam Fawcett, ended up after 6 months coming over to my side and telling me the story. And I said to Pam, I said, Pam, well, why did you come over to my side all of a sudden? And I had dealt with her, by the way, on the telephone, but never met her. She said, Ted, I woke up the other morning and I realized you're the only honest son of a bitch I've talked to in 6 months. Those are exact words, by the way. I've got that on tape, so it's confirmed and it's documented. And she even had the run of the FBI office in Modesto, California. She had her own coffee cup. They paid her $2,000 to try to set me up. And the way that she came over to my side is she had a problem with herself and with her son, and I tried to help her as a humanitarian. And she realized that, recognized that, and she realized that the FBI was basically using her. So anyway, I was on national TV, a number of national radio talk shows. I was on CNN and debated Freddie Kassab, the father-in-law, on national television, and also they had a psychiatrist there. And I basically gave the story. And the story was, of course, that this satanic cult group had come into the house that night, got out of hand, they popped drugs at midnight, and it was, according to Helena, her initiation into the satanic movement. And you know, folks, people just came out of the woodwork, from the East Coast to the West Coast, North to South. People contacted me, gave me the same basic story about satanic cults and about their ceremonies, multi-generationals. That's a person that's been into the cult, born into it, mother and father, grandfather, grandmother involved in it. Ritual abuse, that's people, kids usually, that are ritualistically abused, rather than straight sexually abused. And the same stories over and over again from people who did not know each other. So I said, there's got to be something to this. And so I started delving into satanic cults. From there, I went to pedophilia, pornography, prostitution, corruption in the courts, law enforcement, corrupt, prosecutors, corrupt. And I basically learned through my research and through my work on the street. By the way, I do more than just research books. I'm out there, I talk to people. And I basically learned that the satanic cult movement in the United States is very, very active. There are in excess of 3 million members. There are between 50 and 60,000 human sacrifices a year. And for you folks up here in Canada, there is a network between the United States and Canada. There's an extensive amount of traffic between Seattle, Washington area and Vancouver, BC. Children are being auctioned off, that are kidnapped in the United States are being auctioned off in Toronto, Canada, among other places. And this is just a drop in the bucket of the information that I developed. I said to myself, where did this all start? What's going on? I don't understand. And by the way, in furnishing data and information, specifics and documents, and the truth to officials, including the FBI, the U.S. Department of Justice, I'm ignored. Nobody pays any attention to me. I'm not used to that, by the way, particularly as an FBI chief. When I gave an order, people moved. I go back to Washington, D.C., personally meet with people, give them documents. Nobody does anything. Write letters, send certified copies around the U.S. attorneys, FBI, Department of Justice, Attorney General of the United States. Never hear from them. I didn't like that. I don't like being ignored, particularly when I'm right. So I researched it, and I was giving this speech one night in Las Vegas about the McDonald case, and I specifically talked about the McDonald case. And the McDonald case, by the way, again, it's a lecture that can take an hour and a half, 2 hours if I go into details, and if I did, it would shock you. I just gave you a little smattering tonight. And after I finished this lecture in Las Vegas on the McDonald case, a man walked up to me, elderly man walked up to me, handed me this book right here, and this is the very book he handed me. And it's called Pawns in the Game. And he said, Ted, the answer to the problem is in this book. Now, I'm telling you that this story here tells it all. It talks about the Illuminati. Is there anybody here who has never heard or does not know anything about the Illuminati? Raise your hand. There's a few. Well, you're going to get a real education tonight, folks. This is a book that was written by William Guy Carr, commander of the Canadian Navy, born in 1895, died in 1959. He basically had the same problem I did. He wanted to know why and what's going on. By the way, I might mention also that this book is available. I sell it through my office, and we have flyers out here. And anything in the way of research that you obtain with my name on it, you're welcome to make copies. I don't worry about copyright. I'm here to educate you folks. I'm here to tell you what's going on, not only in the United States, but also in Canada. We're going to get into that later. But this book is available. This is not mine, so you can't make copies of this if you want to. You know, I don't really care, but I urge you folks to pick up a copy. This is not that expensive. Anyway, Mr. William Guy Carr, same problem I did. What's going on? He couldn't understand. He couldn't understand why people can't live in peace. We have to have war. We have to have violence. We have to have corruption. So I read this book, and the answer, as I said, is here. Let me just give you a few excerpts from the book. In 1770, Adam Weishaupt, beg your pardon? Weishaupt. Adam Weishaupt. Spell it. Weishaupt. Weishaupt, I'll try. I'll just say Weiss, okay? If I miss it, forget about it. Weishaupt. Is that it? Weishaupt. Adam Weishaupt, a Jesuit trained professor of canon law, who had defected from Christianity and embraced the Luciferian ideology, was retained by the money changers, also known as the House of Rothschild, to revise and modernize the age-old prodigals designed to give the Church of Satan ultimate world domination so they could impose the Luciferian ideology upon what remains of the human race. 7 years later, May 1, 1776, Weishaupt, how's that, how am I doing on that? Weishaupt, okay. Weishaupt completed his task. The plan required the destruction of all existing governments and religions, and the objective was to be reached by dividing the masses into opposing camps in ever-increasing number on political, racial, social, and economic and other issues. The opposing sides were to be armed, and an incident provided that would cause them to fight and weaken themselves as they destroyed the national governments and religious institutions. He established what is known as the Illuminati. The word Illuminati is derived from Lucifer, and it means holder of the life. In 1776, Weishaupt, put a plot into execution using the lie that his objective was to bring about the one world government to enable men with proven mental abilities to govern the world. He recruited 2,000 followers. These included the most influential intellectual men in the field of arts and science, education, finance, and industry. He established lodges of the Grand Orient to be their secret headquarters, and he initially set forth four basic goals. Later, he provided 25 individual goals. But let me just go and give you the four basic goals right at the beginning. Use monetary and sex bribery to obtain control of people already occupying positions in high places in various levels of all governments and other fields of human endeavor. All governments, I emphasize, folks. The number two goal was to recruit outstanding students on college campuses and train them to accept the fact that only a one world government can put an end to recurring wars and tribulations. Number three, those trapped through sex and drugs, i.e. blackmail, and who had been especially trained were to be placed behind the scenes of all governments as advisors and experts so they could influence various adopted policies and serve the secret plans of the one-worlders. Number four, control the press. Now, going back, in 1773, Meyer Rothschild, who was only 30 years of age at the time, invited 12 other wealthy and influential men to meet him in Frankfurt. His purpose was to convince them to pool their resources and then finance and control the world revolutionary movement and win ultimate control of the wealth, natural resources, and manpower of the entire world. During the meeting, Rothschild read a carefully prepared plan of action. And this plan was prepared by Weishaupt. Number one, preach liberalism. Number two, use the idea of freedom to bring about class war. The book outlines it much more in detail. This, I'm doing an abbreviated version of it, by the way. Number three, any and all means were justified to reach their goal. Number four, their rights lie in force. Five, the power of our resources must remain invisible until the very moment when it has gained such strength that no cunning or force can undermine it. That's what's happened today, folks. You don't know about this, do you? Mainstream media never told you about this. I'm telling you about it. It's exactly what's happened. Remain invisible. And it's not too far away before I think that the one world or the globalists are going to move on us. Six, advocate a mob psychology to obtain control of the masses. Seven, use alcohol, drugs, moral corruption, and all forms of vice to systematically corrupt the youth of the nations. That isn't happening now. That's been very well documented. Seize property by any means. Deal with the use of slogans such as equality, liberty, fraternity into the mouths of the masses in psychological warfare. Bill Clinton, if I ever heard of. The next one dealt with war. In 1773, he set down policies that were publicly announced in 1939 by the U.S. and Britain. War should be directed so that nations on both sides be placed further in debt and peace conferences conducted so neither combatants obtained territorial rights. Next, told those present that they must use their wealth to have candidates chosen to public office who would be obedient to their demands and would be used as pawns in the game by the men behind the scenes. The advisors would have been bred, reared, and trained from childhood to rule the affairs of the world. The next one, control the press. Number 13, their agenteurs will come forward after fomenting traumatic situations and appear as the saviors of the masses when they are actually interested in just the opposite, the killing off of the masses. Next, create industrial depression and financial panics. Unemployment, hunger, shortage of food. Use this to control the masses or the mob and used the mob to wipe out all those who dared to stand in its way. 15 infiltrated into the secret Freemasonry to be used for their purposes. That boils down to a secret society within a secret society, by the way. Not all Freemasons would fall in that category. Next, expound the value of systematic deception. Use high-sounding slogans and phrases and advocate lavish promises to the masses, even though they cannot be kept. Next, the detailed plans for revolution. Discuss the art of street fighting, which is necessary to bring the population to speedy subjection. Next, use their agent tours as advisors behind the scene after the wars through secret diplomacy to gain control. Establish huge monopolies toward world government control. Use high taxes and unfair competition to bring about economic ruin by controlling raw materials, organized agitation among the workers, and subsidizing competitors. Build up armaments with police and soldiers sufficient to protect our interests. Members and leaders of the one world government would be appointed by a dictator at the appropriate time. Infiltrate into all classes and levels of society of government for the purpose of fooling, bemusing, and corrupting the youth members of society by teaching them theories and principles that we know to be false. And last, national and international laws should be used to destroy civilization. Now, in 1784, by an act of God, the Bavarian government, in possession of evidence which would prove the existence of the continuing Luciferian conspiracy, Weishaupt, how am I doing, Coach? Conspiracy had been placed into a book form. A copy of the book was sent to a Weishaupt delegate used to foment the French Revolution. The courier was struck by lightning as he rode from Frankfurt to Paris, divine intervention, obviously. The police found the subversive documents on the body and turned it over to the proper government authorities. And after a careful study by the Bavarian government, they raided the newly organized lodges of the Grand Orient and the homes of Weishaupt's most influential associates. Additional evidence was located that documented the Illuminati plan to use wars and revolutions to bring about the establishment of a one world government. The Illuminati went underground, and Weishaupt instructed his Illuminists to infiltrate the lodges of the Blue Masonry and form a secret society within a secret society.